Welcome to the Hail to the District podcast with your host, Rajan Nanavati.
Welcome to the on again, off again, still not dead, but often on sabbatical or often on hiatus, however you choose to phrase it, Hail to the District podcast. I'm Rajan, as usual, and I'm with my best friend, John, because we are back for what now has become one of my favorite podcast episodes of the year, even though it's only the second edition of us doing this, but it's mocking and betting on the NFL draft, because everyone fucking loves a mock draft. Who doesn't love a mock draft, right? There's so few and far between that when you get another one, it's like, I just got to consume this content. Because nobody does it. But like we did last year, for this year's version, we're not only going to effectively mock the first 10 picks of what should be a otherwise really, really exciting 2024 NFL draft. And our friends on our Slack thread, our NFL Slack thread, have heard me say this. And I'll just say it out loud. And you should by now realize this. This draft is really fucking good. Like in years past, it's been like, all right, we're convincing ourselves, like we're talking ourselves into these prospects and like it's interesting and maybe there's a couple guys with blue chips, but like this year's draft is ridiculous. Like it's absolutely ridiculously loaded with talent. So it's going to be really, really fun to watch those first 10 picks, but more importantly for you guys, as Jalen Rose, I believe, says it, we have to give the people what they want. And we want to identify the best value bets to make money on. And to that end, John, I'll tee you up with this. I think last year's edition of this episode made us some money, but also gave us a ton of insights into what to do and what not to do when we repeat what we did last year.
So I think looking at last year's bets, we had something in the realm of, I'll call it 30 wagers.
Only 30?
Only 30. So I think one thing that we did was, I think we got a little bit too ambitious. I did do a couple live bets last year, and that's going to be a no-no. I'm going to scratch that from this year. We're not messing with live bets. That's just not worth it with the NFL draft. The Vegas just knows way too much. One of the other things that I had was just the late round picks, like don't even bother with. So like last year we had the Bills are going to take a running back because it had like plus 1500 odds. Why not? They're definitely going to, they were too far out. There was no way that, you know, we all thought that like Jahmyr Gibbs or something was going to fall to that. Nobody thought that the Lions were going to take him as early as they did.
Thank God the Lions are picking 28 or 29 because they march to the beat of their own drum. And it's like, I have no idea what they're going to do. And they're not, I'm so glad they're not going to ruin the top 10 or however many picks we're picking this year.
Right. So, and I think that alludes to another point where it's like, kind of just stick to the early round picks because it's just going to get way too clunky after that. One of the other points that I had was instead of picking the pick, if you know that there's a team that's going to take them, it's probably safer to take the team as opposed to the pick itself. So like last year we had Jalen Carter at 10.
Yeah,
because we're like, there's no way the Eagles aren't going to take him. Well, the Eagles took him. They just didn't take him at 10.
Yeah.
That's just another point where I think that we should do. And then I had a note that maybe we do a couple more over under type picks. So like position picks, as opposed to going to some of the long shots that we went for.
Which is ironic because I didn't really prepare a ton of those, but we can kind of dive into that. And this is a great segue because I'll be dropping my mock draft. I'm like, as I've also belabored and badgered the guys with, I'm 27,000 words into my NFL draft preview for this year. So I'm pretty well-versed, I would say, with most of these guys. But then more importantly, it's that kind of segues to the mock draft I'll be dropping later this week. That's neither here nor there. All right, so let's to that, and we'll go ahead and use that as the jump-off for going into the top 10 picks. Like we did last year, or like we said last year, first overall, we don't need to spend any time discussing this. It's even more of a layup than last year. Caleb Williams has been in Sharpie since February. There's no intrigue around this. I think it's like negative. It's or minus
20,000. 20,000 to win $100.
Right? Like it's
no, thank you.
It's just patently absurd, right? So, there's literally no reason whatsoever to make any wager on this. So let's get, particularly as fans of the Washington, whatever you choose to name the team, to the number two overall pick, right? I'm going to stick with the football team, honestly. As I've mentioned in our notes, literally hearing the news, piecing together information, I genuinely go back and forth on what this is going to be every single day. I know Adam Schefter has continually said that Jaden Daniels is the leader in the clubhouse. It's not a done deal yet.
Are you going to call him Jalen Hurts?
I was going to call him Jalen Carter. I had because you had Jalen, although it would have been a really.
But don't you also compare him to Jalen Hurts in?
He is Jalen Hurts.
He's the college version.
A bunch of people have compared him to Robert Griffin III. And as I've said, my comparison for him from day one has been Jalen Hurts in RG3's body. That's been
minus his ability to squat. Yeah, correct. Yeah. RG3's body, but Jalen Hurts' characteristics.
Exactly. Yeah, literally, if you took Jalen Hurts as a quarterback and put him in RG3's body, that's what Jaden Daniels
is. That's not what I want.
No, not at all. So Adam Schefter's continually said, among other people, among many, many other people, that it's going to be Jaden Daniels. I shouldn't say it's going to be, but he is the leader in the clubhouse for everything that people are talking about. I'm going to jump to the other point. I have this theory. I just got done reading the Bill Belichick article, which is really, really interesting. And they made this passing reference, which was started to get my antenna going about how there was we were having this conversation about whether Bill Belichick or whether Washington was really interested in Bill Belichick. And apparently that came from Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson was lobbying Josh Harris was lobbying Josh Harris really hard. And Josh Harris was like, fucking no, I'm not doing that. But Magic Johnson's like, yeah, we should really do this. I have a theory that Magic Johnson's the one pushing in the background for Jaden Daniels.
Really?
And that's because we know Magic Johnson has loose lips. We know he has sway. And we know he's going to be someone being like, oh, man, Heisman Trophy winner, just got done being the best player in college football and 57 combined touchdowns last year or whatever it was. We should go get that guy. That's my theory right now, where he is kind of the source where all of this Jaden Daniels propaganda is coming from.
He's
not making the pick. No, he's just a lobbyist. But that's why these Bill Belichick to Washington rumors never died, even until they hired Dan. Like the day before they hired Dan Quinn, a bunch of people were like, don't count out Bill Belichick. And I don't think it was ever actually a thing. In fact, from all intents and purposes, it wasn't a thing. It's just Magic Johnson has loose lips and he owns a part of the team. A part. Yes. Not is the majority owner, obviously, but he owns a part of the team. Anyway, that is my Jaden Daniels theory.
So if you look at the odds, though, so FanDuel has Jaden Daniels at minus 120. DraftKings has him at minus 145. Mm-hmm. For Drake May, you're looking at minus 110 on FanDuel. Slightly more appealing if you're a Drake May fan, and plus 120 on DraftKings. Fortunately for me, you tipped me off on Drake May. What was that, Monday of this week?
I think it was Monday. Said,
hey, I'm hearing whispers they're souring on Daniels. And I was able to put a small bet on Drake May at plus 270, which I'm very happy about now. And I will not be placing a wager on the second overall pick at all.
I got plus 225 on May earlier in the week. And at that time, it was more wishful thinking. And then I started to go down the rabbit's hole and started to see things. And it's not just Jaden Daniels' agent doing really dumb shit. Right. It's also there's other people been saying that like it's not done and don't be surprised if it's Drake May, like a lot of people. And I'm like, it's worth the plus 225 that I got it at, plus 275 you got it at, and plus whatever you just said that you're still seeing in some places.
Plus 120.
There you go. So positive vig, if you will, on that.
So it's a very close call. I think it's a toss up at this rate it's going to be. Whereas if you would have asked us a week ago, we would have said it's pretty much Daniels.
Yeah. Which I still think, again, if you asked me to put the mortgage on it, if I had to bet the mortgage, I'm still putting Daniels, which pains me greatly to say that. And I have said this publicly, or I guess on social media, and I'll continue to say that I'm firmly in the Drake May camp for number two overall. But for purposes of providing value and what I think will happen, it seems like Jaden Daniels, again, with the major caveat that I'm hoping I'm wrong.
I also hope you're wrong. I do also think Drake May is kind of a Sam Howell 2.0, but he also has better physical attributes.
Upside. It's all upside. He has
massive upside. So when your comps are Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, I would rather go with that than RG3.
As you heard me rant about plenty, let's put aside Josh Allen and Justin Herbert as being like less than 5% possibilities. The biggest possibility to me remains that he's Trevor Lawrence. And I don't care what anybody says. Trevor Lawrence, like if you get Trevor Lawrence 75% of the league is like, yes, I will upgrade my quarterback to that. And we have not had anyone of that capacity in our lifetime. So yeah, I'm taking right. that. I'm sorry. Right. As opposed to, like I said, just our one read RG3. Sorry. So to that end, I recognize going to within the third overall pick in New England, you know, there's a ton of talk and Elliot Wolf, their general manager there, son of the great Ron Wolf, has basically all but put a for sale sign on this pick. I have spent a lot of time trying to dig up information on this. And from everything I've seen and heard from the New England side, not from the national media side, but from the New England side, it basically is the binary. Whatever quarterback Washington doesn't take, New England is going to take. So,
which makes sense.
I mean, they have to. Now, I will say that I feel terrible for whatever quarterback ends up Correct. There, whether it's May or Daniels, because they're going to ruin that kid. Because that's one of the worst piles of shit I've seen from a team perspective in a long time, particularly on offense. I mean, they've got two offensive linemen, and that's it.
They have no weapons whatsoever. So you're literally just throwing a quarterback in the garbage.
You really are. And as I've said more and more over the recent years, that like it is less and less situation. About the – it's less and less about the talent of the quarterback and more about the situation you put him in. May in the right situation could be Josh Allen, and May in the right situation could be, you know, Sam Howell. And the same thing with Jaden Daniels. I mean, Jaden Daniels could be Jalen Hurts from 2022, who was still overrated, but that's not neither here nor there for right now.
He put up good stats. He put up good stats.
Or it could be RG3 from 2014. It just depends on what you're talking about.
But anyway. Also look at Trevor Lawrence. Like his rookie year, people were going to write him off as a bust.
Mm-hmm.
And what was his head coach?
Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
And then he gets Doug Peterson in there, and it's a complete role reversal. Like he
imagine what like, happened.
Oh, wait, this is why we liked him.
When you don't have a coach who kicks the kicker. Right?
You can't make that stuff up.
I'm just saying.
I miss Urban Meyer. He gave us so much. Horny dog Urban Meyer gave us so much to talk about.
Oh, man. Don't go do anything publicly that'll get you in trouble. Meanwhile, I'm going to go have some filthy skank in a bar, grind up all up on me in public. God bless
you. But it was his bar, so it's okay.
Yeah.
When you own the bar, you can do that.
Let's go back to the Drake May thing for a second. Let's say that shit happens and Washington takes Drake May at number two. That effectively leaves Jaden Daniels at number three. I don't think another team that seeks Jaden Daniels is going to go up to number three if such a team exists, and that's really only Las Vegas. So,
not Minnesota?
No. So from Saturday night, at least as of Saturday night, I was seeing plus 175 for Jaden Daniels to New England on yep. DraftKings and FanDuel, as opposed to Drake May being minus 115 and minus 145 on FanDuel and DraftKings respectively. That's
what I have it up right now. That's what current odds.
So if you are someone who believes that May would be the number two overall pick, and thus by process of elimination, Daniels is the number three overall pick, plus the 175 is not bad odds.
It's not terrible. I'm not going to put that on my favorite bets, though.
No, I wouldn't either. Because it's
still convinced that there's too good of a chance that he goes two.
The highest probability.
I'd rather just not touch it.
Yeah. It's not a recommended bet, but it's one of those things where, like, if you feel much more comfortable at the idea of Washington going,
I think your better angle would be to do the first three picks mm-hmm. are going to be Caleb, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and I don't know if that 100% has better odds, but
it's minus 105 from what I saw. I think
the other way. If it was Daniels May, it was minus 105.
Oh, was it minus 105? The thing is minus 135 is what you're going to get on the Caleb Daniels May order. So it's not great. It's really there's nothing compelling about that combined with the probability of this could be wrong or it could go in the other direction. Let's go to Arizona next, because this one is you're starting to creep towards. All right, now we're cooking with fire, right? The trendy conversation, as I've mentioned, was like, oh yeah, Monty Austin Ford's going to do what he did last year. Like last year, remember, he went down to three. I mean, he went from 3 to 12 to 6 or whatever it was, wherever they got Paris Johnson. And they're like, oh yeah, he's just going to do it again. And he was pretty open about the idea of trading everything straight out
and
of
that
Arizona.
Sounds great.
It sounds great on paper, but I don't like last year's top fuck, last year's top 10. Like, everybody was like, I like these guys, but I'm not compelled to like to take one at three versus taking one at like six or something like that. Like, they were all very fluid in where you could have picked them, and nobody's really going to bat an eyelash at it. It's very different this year in terms of shit. It's a dog pile of who can get in front of who to get the right person. So to, or the right player, I should say. So to that end, everything out of Arizona is, I think they're staying put, and I think they're taking Marvin Harrison Jr. It's not even like they're staying, they're staying put. They're taking a wide receiver. They're taking Marvin Harrison Jr. Rightfully mind you.
I mean, he is, what is he, minus 240 or 220, depending on which book you're looking at, to go fourth overall to Carolina, and he's the best receiving prospect in an absolutely studded receiving core.
He really is. And I mean, if you are one of those people, you're like, oh, I like Malik Nabers better, Roma Dunze better. Fine, good for you.
Right. And they're both great. And they're both going to be all pros.
They're both awesome. Like, literally, teaser for my big board. It's Caleb, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze are my top four. Like, that's my top four. So if you like one of the other, great, good for you. But this is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr., barring some completely left field turn of events that we don't see right now. And as you mentioned, minus 240 or 220, it's just not worth it. Like, I don't see anything interesting with that.
Yeah, he's also minus 750 to be the first receiver taken.
Jeez,
Not worth it at all. I did see that. So Caleb, Drake May, Jaden Daniels is plus 140. So don't make that bet. Just take Jaden Daniels to go third overall at plus 175.
Yeah.
That's my caveat. Sorry.
If you were going to, no, great point. If you were going to do that, that's the way to go, because nothing else really seems of value to be there. Again, now we want to talk about the real draft starts here type of pick. It's LA at number five. So
this one's spicy. What do they do?
From really early on, all the signs or innuendo was around the idea that they're going to trade with this pick. And there's so many different permutations they could go here, right? So there was the Jim Harbaugh comment that came out the other day about his hard-on for offensive linemen, and rightfully so. But they're not going to take a right tackle at number five. It just doesn't make sense for a variety of reasons. Number one, right tackle is on a glaring hole need for them at the moment. They want to upgrade. They want to get better there. But they have a guy, I forgot his name, but they just kind of re-signed him at the moment. I don't have the depth chart up, so I'm not going to go, venture down there. But like, they have that. More importantly, everyone has picked, it's going to be Joe Alt at number five. Alt is a left tackle. And from everything you read, they're like, this guy has no experience at right tackle, and you're going to kind of ruin both him and the situation by putting him at right tackle. Like, he's a very classic, don't fuck with it, left tackle. So why are you going to draft him and put him on the right? And they're not going to take him on the left because Rashawn Slater is an all-pro.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with that? So the thing that makes the most sense is they trade back to 11 and then go get somebody who could be a better fit at right tackle in the 11 range when they trade back with the much discussed, Chargers the Vikings at number 11. And it's a very clean trade of Vikings could trade like 11, 23, and maybe like a fifth round pick. And per the draft point value chart, that translates. It's such a clean exchange that like, it's just really hard to not see that happening. The thing now to contradict myself, and the thing that I continue to wrestle with, is if it's such a clean swap, why didn't it happen already?
Right.
It should have happened by now. Like Minnesota
We've gotten
doesn't
zero pre-draft trades, right? No. Well, no, I'm sorry. Minnesota's trading up to 11.
Minnesota getting 23 from Houston, and Houston moving out of the first round. But it should have happened right now because, as the saying goes, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And Minnesota doesn't want to walk into draft night and being like, oh, well, we'd love to get a quarterback, and like, we're going to do all our homework on the quarterback, and just kind of end up in a position where they can't get one of those, four quarterbacks. The fourth one obviously being J.J. McCarthy, and we'll talk about that in a second. So Joe Alt is plus 400 on FanDuel, and I don't know what he's on DraftKings, but I imagine it's very, very close. I get it. I just don't like it. And I know there's a ton of mocks pointing this way. If you look at, again, what the people close to the Chargers, they're saying their board is all wide receivers, understandably so, considering they dumped Keenan Allen.
They traded Keenan Allen for a bag of sandwiches.
Well, I mean, they had to clear $64 million of cap room for the two of them.
They had to pull an Ernie Grunfeld. They had to clean up their mess.
And Malik Nabers, so there's two parts of this. Malik Nabers is plus 230 on FanDuel and DraftKings. Yep. I think there's a very, very legitimate chance that that happens. And then DraftKings, I don't know if you can parlay this, but DraftKings another plus 180 for the Chargers taking any wide receiver with their first pick, which is interesting. And you cannot count out Roma Dunze because he's the bigger one of the two, and he's seen in many cases as like 1A, 1B, 1C, as we just said. And Roma Dunze is plus 1,600, right? I'm not saying that's the highest probability, but it's a strong one. And then the other layer in all of this, to J.J. McCarthy at 5 overall, let's say Minnesota does pull off the draft day deal, it's plus 450 on FanDuel.
Which is interesting because J.J. McCarthy, to go over under 5.5, he's over is plus 120, under is minus 160, minus 150. Where else under, is it going to go?
Under minus?
Under.
Only, I know everyone.
Under. Him to be the fifth pick is minus money.
Wait, you're saying you're going to get crab vig or you're going to get a good vig to get if you go over five, over six?
If you go over, you're going to get positive money. You're at plus 120.
See, that doesn't make any sense to me because it's either five or it drops back to 11.
And or it's 12. In a
second. Yeah, or 11 or 12, right?
Yeah.
And I don't see that happening.
And if you're going to take the under, you're not. He's not going fourth. He's not going third. He's not going second. He's not going first. He's going fifth. He's going fifth. So if you think it's the under, you just take him at five at plus 450 and call it a day. So if you think that one, and it's not just Minnesota that's going to move up, there's also the Giants' potential to move up to that spot as well. So I think McCarthy at number five is a pretty good pick.
Yeah. At plus 450, I mean, it's really hard. And I mean, and if you wanted a hedge, it's McCarthy or Malik Nabers to me. It's one of those two. Again, with like, if you want to, you know, if you have some.
So take them both and you're going to probably come out with positive money.
Right.
Because Malik Nabers is at plus 230.
Yeah. I'm going to touch on your Giants comment for a second. As my affinity for Peter Schrager, for anybody who listens to our podcast, is very well known in that Peter Schrager can go fuck himself because he's a hack. So there was a report the other day, or excuse me, he dropped his mock the other day, which is, you know, I've had turds that are more useful than Peter Schrager's mock drafts. And he published the idea, was making fun of him in our group chat. Literally all the Giants reporters are like, I just really struggle to see the Giants A, drafting McCarthy, and B, giving up assets to go get J.J. McCarthy. Schrager comes out and goes, LOL, Giants trading up to whatever that is to go get J.J. McCarthy.
I didn't say it was a good move. I just said it was a possibility.
No, I know. I'm not slamming you. I'm slamming Peter Schrager. It's not you at all. So I as I wrote, I'm not buying Schrager. I'm not buying McCarthy at plus 550 or plus 500, depending on your book. I would have said that the path to the Giants trading up to number three in like February or March was like so crystal clear because they had that extra second round pick. I forgot where they got it from, but they had an extra second round pick. And so they had 2 second round picks. And if you go back, I can't remember which draft it is specifically. I want to say it's the 2018 draft. It's 2017 or 18. I want to say it's 18. There was a number six to number three swap when the Colts moved down to number six and the Jets moved up to number three. The Jets got Darnold, the Colts got Quentin Nelson, and it took 2 second round picks plus a second the following year. When the Giants had 2 second round picks, they could have done that and moved up to number three and got the quarterback of their choice. All the rumors and all the news that you hear is that the Giants really, really want Drake May. That's the guy they want. They really, really want him. Lord, dear flying spaghetti.
Please monster, don't let him go there.
I hope he doesn't end up there, right? That's the guy who they want. I don't think it's going to happen. Because once the Giants traded that extra second round pick for Brian Burns, and I'm like, they're staying put. They don't have the ammo to move up anymore. Short of them really mortgaging the future, and I just don't see them doing that.
Right, they'd have to do a first like next year in addition to picks this year.
To move up three spots.
That's insane.
It's too much. And on top of that, always go back to the stupid owner theory. I don't think that John Mara is going to sign off on dumping Daniel Jones. John Mara loves Daniel Jones. He loves David Cutcliffe, who was Daniel Jones' quarterback coach at Duke. I don't think he's going to really be that compelled to make a move to dump Daniel Jones so fast. If there was easier way vis-a-vis draft capital, I think it would have happened. I just don't see them being like, yeah, let's empty everything to go get this guy. I just don't see it happening. So with all of that being said, the highest probability to me remains a depending on what the hell the Chargers do at number five, for the sake of argument, I'm going to project that they trade out and then somebody comes and gets McCarthy at number five. Malik Nabers is at number six, is +165/+150 on FanDuel and DraftKings.
Right. Yep. Or if for some reason they like Romeo Dunzier, he's +320 on FanDuel and +250. On DraftKings.
That's not out of the question.
Accentuates my point of this is why you shop your books. That's a pretty big gap. So what DraftKings is telling you is that they're both telling you that Malik Nabers is more likely to pick, but one of them is a little bit higher on the Dunze than the other. And so if you like them at +320, that's pretty tasty.
I could definitely see it happening, particularly if the Chargers do end up taking Malik Nabers and don't move down from number five. Then the Giants are going to be like, well, shit, I got to get a receiver here because we don't want to walk out with no receiver and no quarterback. Like, that would be the worst case scenario for them. So they'd be like, fuck it, I'm going to take Odunze, and now you're talking.
So right now, the bets that I have marked down is I'm going to put money on McCarthy and Nabers at the fifth. I'm going to just take my standard betting unit. I'm going to split it in half. I'm going to do half on one, half on the other.
That makes sense.
And then I was thinking maybe a half unit on Malik Nabers or on Odunze at six.
It's a good shot.
As we said, we had way too many wagers last year.
Yeah.
I would, instead of 30, I would like maybe 15 ones that we are very confident in instead of 30, where 10 of them were kind of long shotty.
So the next few picks gets into some real, well, number seven, I don't like at all, Tennessee. And we'll talk about this in a second, but then 8, 9, and 10, there's a lot of are very sliding doors possibilities as well. Kind of give me an early teaser. So let's get Tennessee out of the way.
Isn't that Joe Tennessee, Alt?
Huh?
Isn't it going to be Joe Alt?
Assuming Alt doesn't go number five. And again, I just got done saying, I would be very surprised right. If that happens. So then it's Joe Alt and it's -140/-170 on FanDuel and DraftKings. So it's like that, who cares? Right.
And he's also not worth betting as first offensive lineman off the board.
It's gross.
I forget what it is, but it's gross. It's so gross. I didn't even put it in my notes.
I think it's like -750 or something.
Something in that range, similar to the Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, it's just not even like worth taking even a second casual glance at. I wrote down that if Alt goes five, I don't feel very strong about this. If Alt goes five, the Titans are badly in need of a left tackle. Like, they're the opposite of the Chargers. They need a left tackle. That's like a glaring red flag, you know, Moses parted the Red Sea hole right there. And to that end, Olufashanu, I think, would be next up. I know his stock has kind of cooled off a little bit. I think it's going to kind of swing back in the opposite direction. I think that's a lot of media creation, to be honest with you. And if you see the world where Alt goes five and you're like, no, I think the Chargers or Alt is not available with this pick, let's just phrase it that way. Fashanu at seven or for the Titans is +1,000 on FanDuel and +950 for DraftKings. That's not bad. I'm not recommending it, but that's not bad.
No, that's not going to make my top 15 list.
I don't think it should either. Again, I don't really like this pick.
I don't like that one at all. So
I will leave two breadcrumbs here. Ooh. There was one when the number two breadcrumb, if you will, is that I still think there's a little bit of a potential where the Titans could look at a pass rusher. And like, remember, this is Ron Carthon's team. He came from the 49ers. They've invested a ton of assets into the defensive line. And I don't think they're well-stocked in that capacity by any stretch. So Dallas Turner is +2,900 on FanDuel and 2,500 on DraftKings. It's a Hail Mary, but it's not like a shot in the dark. There is a logical sequence that you could arrive at that conclusion. The one that really got me, and I saw this float on my radar a couple of days ago, was one somebody in the NFL. I think it was former Buccaneers GM Mark Domenech, and he's like, this could be Brock Bowers. And when he said that, it made a lot of sense. So before the Titans spent big money on Calvin Ridley, I kept saying, like, this is going to be a receiver. Like, everyone keeps saying this is going to be a left tackle. I think this is going to be a receiver. And then they took Calvin Ridley, and I was like, oh, it's not going to be a receiver anymore. Now they're going to take a tackle. Remember, they have Will Levis. And the proven blueprint, or the proven current thinking right now in the NFL, is that we want to surround our quarterback with as much firepower as possible. I don't know that that means a wide receiver for them, but I could absolutely be see it being Brock Bowers. And if you agree with my line of thinking, it's plus 3,300 on.
Yeah, that's insane. I don't see that. I don't agree with that one, but.
And I always come back to NFL GMs tend to know the most out of anybody. Like, they're the ones who really have the information close to the vest. So when Mark Domenech, of all people, said that, again, I take media innuendo with a massive grain of salt, but when someone of that ilk, unless you're Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN, who's even a bigger hack,
he's a hack as a GM.
He was. Except for him, when GMs say things, I tend to keep my antenna up, because it's usually not full of shit, depending on who you're talking about.
As far as tight end prospects, I mean, he's up there with the hype that Kyle Pitts was getting, but Kyle Pitts he's a weapon. He's just an absolute offensive stud.
At the risk of recency bias, Bowers is better. I like Pitts.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So it would not be crazy for him to go seven. And as you said, you know, the biggest thing you can do to help a young quarterback is give him a tight end like Brock Bowers. I personally like Brock Bowers under 12 and a half. I don't think there's
under 12 and a half
any way that he lasts that long. I'm trying to pull up.
As in after the 12th pick?
Under.
Oh, under, as in 12 and above.
Correct.
Oh, love it. Yes. Oh, we're all over that. We'll get there for sure. We'll get there for sure. Yes, all over that.
So him going at seven would definitely fit that narrative, but to pull him at plus 3,300 would be rather insane. That'd be a nice win.
Yeah. Again, it's a small possibility, but it's not out of the realm of discussion, like, or not like a total shot in the dark lottery ticket type of thing, right?
That's a lottery ticket. Come on.
I mean, lottery ticket in the sense of your return on investment, but it's not like, you know, or scratcher, like you're getting a scratcher where you're like every odds the same and you just happen.
No, you actually put some thought and you've come up with a narrative that can get you there. And I mean, yeah, that's how you do sports gambling. Is what's my narrative? How am I going to get how's this story going to come true? And does that make sense?
So the next two picks are the sliding doors ones, and you've seen me with my crazy. So as I was putting in our outline with Atlanta, I have a 41, 20, 20, 19 confidence interval in four guys, basically. Yeah. Right. And I can make very good arguments for any of the four. Again, so when I keep writing in all my mocks, it's funny. I'm like, Atlanta has not had a pass rusher with more than 8 sacks in like a decade. I think it's 2017 is the last time they've had any player with more than 8 sacks, which is comical. Like, you can almost stumble into 10 sacks in the pass heavy NFL, but they haven't had one. So ironically, every year they keep saying, oh, we need to get a pass rusher. And every year they keep ignoring a pass rusher in terms of upgrading their team. So if you were to say this is the year they stopped doing that, and what's his name of the head coach? Raheem Morris kept saying, he's like, we got to get better on the edge rush, we got to get better on pass rush, and we got to get better in the secondary. So to that end, Dallas Turner is my 41% confidence interval. He's plus 250 on FanDuel, plus 210 on DraftKings. But then I have Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold. I kind of like Terrion Arnold. I think Arnold is being underrated by the media, and I think he's valued more by the NFL. And Quinyon Mitchell is the opposite. Quinyon Mitchell is awesome, but I think he's being more valued by the media and slightly less valued by the NFL compared to what we're seeing in the media, right? So anyway, Mitchell is plus 1,300 on FanDuel, plus 1,600, but Arnold is plus 1,800 on FanDuel. And then my 19% confidence interval, I keep hearing this. I don't buy it, but I keep hearing this thing like Atlanta could take another receiver.
That would be insane.
It would be so stupid.
But would you blame them?
No, I wouldn't, because Drake London is a number one and a half receiver.
Right. So he's good. He's very good, but he's not elite.
Right.
And you have a chance to draft an elite receiver.
If you got Romo Dunze sitting at eight, I wouldn't fault them for taking it.
No. But right now you're looking at a Dunze would be plus 650 at that pick. Malik Nabers would be plus 1800.
Nabers doesn't last that long. There's no way Nabers last that long. There's just no way.
I don't know. I did earlier, a couple weeks ago, you said Terrion Arnold to be the first defensive player taken, and he was at the time plus 2200.
Yeah.
So I did jump on that. I don't have a lot of confidence in that one. So that is my lottery pick for this selection. So I would lean it. Personally, I would lean against wagering on him at eight. I have no clue. It's a toss-up because it's even who's the other defensive lineman?
So the Laiatu Latu plus 200. He was the highest rated defensive player, or the highest odds defensive player for this pick. Plus 200 above Dallas Turner, above any of the other guys mentioned. That baffled me. I love Latu's game. I love
where,
it.
I saw that at DraftKings. He's plus 200.
That's insane.
I think they both were at plus 200. Whereas at FanDuel, Dallas Turner is 250 and Latu is 260. So it's very head to head. And again, shop your odds.
That shot out of nowhere. And I want to be very clear. I love Latu's game. I love it. But NFL GMs are terrified of injury history. They are mortified of energy,
should be.
And Latu has a really bad injury history with that. Like, again, he medically retired after 2 years of college football, right? Like, you're trying, like, that one doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, where did that come from? Again, fully saying, I love this guy, and I think he's a phenomenal prospect in terms of what you see on film. But like that just floored me. I'm like, what the fuck was that?
Well, the funny part is too, on DraftKings, first defensive player, Dallas Turner is minus 125 and Latu is plus 250. These odds don't make sense. Why? If your first defensive player is most likely going off the board at eight, how is this different? How are these odds so off?
I think a bunch of money from somewhere got dumped on Latu at number eight, and it doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't make sense.
Do you trust gangster money?
Gangster money tends to be right, man.
You know?
Problem. Like, I was the one banging the table. It's like, it's not going to be Bijan at eight. It's not going to be Bijan at eight. And it sure as fuck was Bijan at eight last year.
I mean, so, you can't always follow the money, because if it was that easy, everybody would be winners in Vegas. Yeah. You'd just follow the sharp bettors. The sharp bettors are 53% to 55%. They just happen to have a lot of capital to wager. So they're just playing numbers. So
yeah,
I don't know. I would think Dallas Turner at plus 250 would be a reasonable wager.
The other angle to this was Raheem Morris is a DB's coach and his heart. They hired Jimmy Lake, who was a former University of Washington coach. He's a DB's coach in his heart, and he's their defensive coordinator. Raheem Morris came out and said, we need to get better in the secondary. Their cornerback opposite AJ Terrell is basically like you, me, and Dupree, right? So they need a cornerback. Let's say you're not sold on Mitchell or Terrion as you know, in particular. DraftKings says plus 190 for cornerback with Atlanta's first pick. So there's a hedge there. It's not a great hedge, but there is one.
I think we could come up with something here.
If you
said plus 900?
No, 190, plus 190.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, no. That's what I said. It's not a great one.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That I would not recommend doing, because I would rather place two bets on the top two corners than to place a bet on the CB. Just because you can get, as we said, the corners are plus 1800.
Plus 1,800 for Terrion Arnold and plus 1,300 on FanDuel for Quinion.
So I would recommend doing either a quarter unit on each and then maybe a half unit on Dallas Turner and call it a day. And I think you'll come out positive.
Particularly if one of those quarters hit, but even if the half hits with Dallas Turner getting plus 250 or plus 210 on DraftKings.
Well, that's why you get him on FanDuel at 250.
There you go. Yep. Shop your books. Okay. So Chicago is another one of those 41-20-20-19 types right there. It may be actually the latter two knobs I might be too high on. So I will say it this way. If Roma Dunze is available at 9, Roma Dunze is the pick. That's just a straight up calculus right there. I would be stunned if Roma Dunze is at 9 and Roma Dunze is not the pick. So he's plus 150 on FanDuel and plus 145 on DraftKings.
Oh, has that changed?
That's what I saw last night, Saturday night, when I was pulling my odds.
Oh, wow. So I looked at it Saturday afternoon. It was plus 195.
Wow. All right. So money's moving.
And yeah, so he did move down to 150 on FanDuel and 145 on DraftKings.
Possible by the time you're listening to this, the odds have moved even further.
And as of yesterday, the over for Adunze was over under was 8.5. So yeah. If you took the over, it's plus 135. So I would be more willing to take the over at 135 because just for the outside chance that he doesn't go at 9. No, he's going at 9.
Yeah, he's not getting lasting past 9. He's not lasting past 9. Like I can't see him lasting past 9. I can't see it. I would be really, 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 really surprised if that happens. But let's say to that end, using that as a segue, somehow, or one of two things. He either Chicago goes brain dead and they don't take him, or he's not available, the latter being the most likely scenario. That's when you start talking about the other ones. The other one that everyone has been talking about is the Bears want a pass rusher opposite of Montez Sweat. Would have been nice if we had a guy like Montez Sweat.
We did get a good return for him in hindsight.
We got a great return for him. But
I mean, if you look at it between what they got for Chase Young and what the quarterbacks went for,
yeah,
is just what they got for Sam Howell compared to what the Bears got for Justin Fields. Crazy.
I'll take it.
A second. I think that was a pretty good return for Sweat.
So if the Bears, for whatever reason or whichever reason, are not able to or choose not to take Roma Dunze, I think the next up would be Dallas Turner, if he's available. He's plus 750 on FanDuel and DraftKings, again, with the major caveat that he doesn't go at 8 to Atlanta. I had this backwards in my odds. I originally put Jared Verse as the next possibility. And that was another weird one, too, because he's plus 290 on DraftKings, but plus 750 on FanDuel. That's a 460-point difference, which is interesting one way or another between two different books. Take that for what it's worth. I think Verse at number 9, while I am a big fan of Verse's game, I think he's really, really good. I think that's a little rich. I would actually say the next up is Byron Murphy. Byron Murphy is really interesting, and I could definitely see a world where the Bears take Byron Murphy at number 9, pending the other caveats that I just mentioned. And that's plus 1,500 on DraftKings and plus 750 on FanDuel.
Byron Murphy at number 9?
Byron Murphy at number 9.
It's at 600 now.
Well, the FanDuel?
FanDuel.
Yeah. See, there's a lot of talk about it. Like, there's – I'm curious, what is Odunze still at 145, 150-ish?
150.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't. I mean, but Murphy is that's picking up steam over the last little while. And it makes sense to me. Like I can see that because Murphy, and we're not going to talk about Minnesota 11, but if there's a world where Minnesota doesn't trade up from number 11 and McCarthy is gone, Byron Murphy's going 11.
So like, Byron Murphy's over under it. This I found interesting and maybe it's changed. I'll check it in just a second. His over under number on FanDuel was 14.5 and it was 15.5 on DraftKings.
Yeah. I saw there was a different discrepancy there.
So,
which doesn't make sense because New Orleans is not taking him at 14. So why is that there? 15 is Indianapolis and they're not taking him there either. So like, why is there that weird discrepancy between the two of them?
I don't know, but do you like the under on that one?
I do. I really like the under on that one because if he's not going 9, he's going to go 11 to Minnesota is a very distinct possibility, assuming Minnesota stays at 11. Denver can't be counted out at 12. there is smoke to the idea of him going to Las Vegas at 13. So there's a really good chance he ends up in one of those spots.
So my recommendation then would be just be to take him at under 15.5 on DraftKings at minus 165. Get the extra pick.
Minus 165?
Yeah.
Checking my thing. So I'm saying, okay. Yeah, I don't have it written down. So we'll take your word for it. All right. That rounds out 9. And let's get to the Jets at 10. So this is like a 45-45-10 sort of type of thing. I will just simply say this instead of getting to parsing the semantics of this. This is another binary. It's Brock Bowers or it's Talia Sifuaga. It's one of the two. I'm just going to straight up say this right now. And I really think it comes down to how much does Aaron Rodgers bitch and moan about this pick and how much does Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh go into save-your-ass mode. Full disclosure, they're in save-your-ass mode big time right now.
They should be.
So I think as much – so I think if Joe Douglas lived in a world where he is not general managing for his life or his, you know, his coaching job or managing job in 2024, I think he would take Fuaga. If it was up to him and everything lived in a normal vacuum, I think he would take Fuaga. But I think he's going to take Brock Bowers because he's like, I need immediate help. I need push button receive bacon for this year. And to that end, Brock Bowers is plus 185 on FanDuel, and then Brock Bowers to the Jets – as a supplemental pick is plus 140 on DraftKings.
So he's moved to plus 150 on FanDuel for shit, number 10.
Man. 24 hours, shit's moving.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So I'm glad we're doing this now and not waiting any longer.
Yeah.
The over-under line for him was 12.5, and the under is minus 188, which I kind of think's a slam dunk.
Here's the problem why I can't recommend, and I stayed away from the over-under on Bowers. If Bowers doesn't go to 10, his new ceiling starts at 15.
Right.
Or his new floor, I guess, would start at 15. So, because he's not going to 11 or 12. That's not going to happen. So that's why I'm uncomfortable with, like, Bowers at 10 is interesting, or 7, as we mentioned earlier. But if that doesn't happen, then I think 15 is now the new first potential place he can go.
Do the Jets move back?
No.
Because they're just not going to find a dance partner?
That's number one. That's absolutely a great point. And number two, I think they need immediate help. They need impact now. Like they're not in a position where they're like, oh, I want to upgrade more pieces. They're a pretty good team right now overall. Like they're not like, oh, we need to, you know, fill in more gaps. They're like, I need to win now. I need 9 to 10 wins this season. Getting extra picks and exchanging dollars for coins is not going to get them that.
That's fair.
Their offensive line is getting shaky. Yeah, the tackles are. And that's why you'll talk about Fuaga, where you can kick him inside for year one and then replace, you know, Tyron Smith at left tackle or Morgan Moses at right tackle. Yeah, absolutely. And it makes all the sense in the world. But I don't think they're thinking like that. I think they're like, well, fuck it. We'll figure out if we have our job, we'll get the offensive lineman next year. We can find one next year. You can't find a Brock Bowers for Aaron Rodgers this year.
Right. Well, and also there are potential for January 1st cuts that you can find line depth. The offseason doesn't end with the draft. There's still more to go. So I really lean towards the Jets taking Brock Bowers.
At this point, I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen, just to be candid. But if it doesn't happen, I would be stunned if it's not Fuaga. And I sound like a really positive broken record, but like Fuaga's awesome. So like I wouldn't fault them for doing that. Dude's a beast. But
how about this then? Second offensive lineman taken, Fuaga plus 210.
No, because I like him more than I think though some of the NFL, because Fashanu is there.
Yep.
Fautanu from Washington is there. Like I wouldn't be surprised if he goes there. They are so beauty in the eye of the beholder after Alt that like I can't make a good recommendation for
so I'm gonna mark on my notes, don't touch on this bet.
Yeah.
But that was one of the ones that I found interesting. first DL taken was Dallas Turner or Latu. Dallas Turner was plus 100.
I mean, Latu is getting steam from somewhere, so it's interesting, right? Like, but if you ask me defensive line, because they combine defensive line and edge in so many cases, and I think if you ask me, Murphy would probably be the second one, but looking at the way the money goes, what if it's Latu? And I'm not recommending it. I'm more just saying this out loud. Going back to your second offensive lineman, Fuaga's plus 210 on FanDuel and plus 340. Fashanu is plus 340 on FanDuel. Right. If you wanted to put more, if you really felt compelled to put money on a second offensive lineman drafted bet, it would be between four. You could hedge with, you know, some portion of some unit on Fuaga at plus 210 and some portion of some unit on Fashanu at plus 340. Because I think it's going to be one of those two. I'd be surprised if it wasn't Fuaga or Fashanu.
Okay. So what if I did some type of split wager, half or quarter unit on this, quarter unit on that?
Yeah, that would probably be the smartest bet. Because now you're looking at the Raiders at 12. If the Raiders at 12 stand pat, and I think they will, then they're more than likely going to go offensive lineman. And if you ask me right now which offensive lineman, I think it's going to be Fashanu.
Right? You're not going to trade back and take Michael Penix?
It's on the table. They could take Penix at 13. Right? So I'd laugh. But
I would also laugh. Michael Penix to be a first-round pick minus 190.
I know. Minus 190?
Do we really think there's going to be five quarterbacks taken?
So, yes. Because Nix or Penix will go in the first round.
So, the over-under for five quarterbacks. So, the over-under is 4.5 for quarterbacks. The over is minus 250.
Meaning,
why wouldn't you just take Michael Penix to be a first-round pick? Because it's going to be him, not Bo Nix.
I wouldn't go that far.
Really?
I wouldn't go.
I mean, this is why I bring up the things.
I think because Nix is higher ceiling, higher floor, lower ceiling, and coaches will bet on the higher floor all the time, right? There are coaches in the NFL who will talk themselves into seeing him as watered down Drew Brees. I'm not saying that's what he is. I'm just saying they'll talk themselves into it.
I don't see that at all. But okay.
Yep. Telling you,
he did play very well at Oregon.
He
played much better at Oregon. How about that? He was in a system that fit his skill set and they optimized it for him and they made things easy for him.
This is the metaphor that I came up for Bo Nix, not to spoil my scouting profile that is going to drop on Tuesday. He's really good vanilla ice cream.
Sounds about right.
Right? Like it's vanilla ice cream. It's ice cream. It's ice cream. It's really good ice cream, but it's vanilla.
Isn't that Kirk Cousins?
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what it is. He won't have as many mental boners as Kirk Cousins does. That's the difference, right? At least it doesn't seem like it. Who knows what happens in the future? Okay. You want to go to prop bets, or that rounds out the top 10? You want to go to the first drafted player by team, or you want to go to prop bets? Prop bets seems a little more tasty.
I have a bunch of other bets. I really didn't look at the team bets because a lot of the team bets are kind of. I thought they were all over the place. So if you had some that you liked, do you want to?
I'll run through a couple that just caught my attention.
Okay.
Okay. This is. I'll start with a little bit of a calculated. I don't say gamble because that's obvious, but like a calculated Hail Mary, right? I'll start with Dallas. I can't remember what their exact number is, but Dallas's pick. Dallas is more than likely going offensive line. I want to be abundantly clear. It's almost certain that they're going to go offensive line. There are lots of whispers, and the argument can be made about wide receiver because they have nothing after CeeDee Lamb and
Michael Gallup?
I can't remember if they do or not, but there's point conversations. Even if they don't, there's basically CeeDee Lamb and nothing like Jalen Tolbert. And then that's like literally it. Right. And that's plus 900 on FanDuel and plus 600 on DraftKings. There's a lot of talk, particularly like in the Dallas circles, where like this could be a wide receiver or it should be a wide receiver. Again, all odds are on offensive linemen, but don't be surprised, both from a logical perspective as well as a betting perspective, that this isn't about a wide receiver. I've seen Brian Thomas's name here mentioned quite a bit. I could definitely see him falling to this spot, but just food for thought.
Okay.
The one that I really like, a couple that I really liked. Okay, so I don't know really like, but this was another one that was interesting to me. Denver at 12. We've danced around this a little bit. So this is a very obvious Bo Nix landing spot, but I think this is one of three options. I think this is going to be one of three. Like, I can tell you that it's going to be one of these three positions. So if you were to do like a third, third, third type of split here, you have a pretty clean chance of making money. I think it's going to be a defensive end.
Plus 180.
A DB or a quarterback. So as you said, defensive lineman's plus 180, a cornerback is plus 370.
Right.
And if they go Nix at 12, which I think is totally in the realm of possibility, very much, it's plus 190 all on FanDuel.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you this. So Bo Nix to Denver is plus 105 on FanDuel. When I checked it yesterday, I'm going to have to check it here in a second. It was minus 175 on DraftKings.
Holy shit.
So let me double check that one.
Oh, two different books. Sorry, I thought you went 105 to one minus 170. No, two different books. Okay, yes.
DraftKings website or FanDuel's website stinks.
But between while you're looking that
up. Oh, wow. Yeah, 105. 105 on FanDuel. So if you like Bo Nix to Denver.
You go with the quarterback. You take Denver quarterback at number 12, and it's plus 190 or on FanDuel in particular.
Yeah, that's wild that those odds are so different.
And if you don't like, and if you're like, no, this Bo Nix is talk is bullshit, which I wouldn't fault you for saying that. It's almost binary to me that it's going to be either a defensive lineman or a cornerback, which again, as you just said, is plus 180 or plus 370, respectively.
I think the thought process is that Denver's going to trade up back into the first round.
Oh, up
back into the first round and grab Bo Nix. So I think the thought would be, and that's why you're seeing that odds discrepancy is that with their 12th pick overall, they're going to take somebody else. Whereas to get Bo Nix, they'll move back into the first round to grab him.
Yeah, but again, remember Denver hates draft picks. They have a bunch of fifth round picks. They have two picks in the top 76, which is like the opposite of Washington, where we have like six, right? I don't see that the ammunition they have. Like, they would have to, Sean Payton's not against this, where he's like doing, you know, Mike Ditka type stuff. Is like, I'll give you picks next year and the year and the after that and the year after that and the year after that to move up. He did it last year. But I don't know. I feel pretty good about one of those three outcomes. Very similarly, I think Indianapolis, I have basketball in the brain slightly at the moment. Indianapolis is one of three positions. It's almost one of two or two and a half, if you want to call it this. So I think Quinyon Mitchell, if Quinyon Mitchell doesn't go eight to Atlanta, he's going, if he doesn't go eight to Atlanta or 12 to Las Vegas, he's going 15 to Indianapolis. Quinyon Mitchell is not falling past 15. It's not happening. If one of my, like, I think this player to this team is like close to Sharpie outside of like the top 5 to 7. I think Quinyon Mitchell to Indianapolis is like one of those.
So his under 15 and a half is at minus 174.
So I think Quinyon Mitchell is going to be there. Or let's say you think Terrion Arnold, which is a distinct possibility. If for some reason Mitchell is not there and Arnold remains. So cornerback is plus 115 on FanDuel. Yeah. Indianapolis taking a cornerback. Wide receiver continues to get a lot of talk, and I can see it. Even though they just re-signed Michael Pittman, well, they have Michael Pittman, they got Josh Downs, but they really don't have a ton else after that. And again, you have Anthony Richardson coming back, so they're going to be like, let's get him a wide receiver. So I don't buy the argument as much, but it's plus 300 on FanDuel for Indianapolis taking a wide receiver at number 15. Brian Thomas, again, not to sound like a broken record, is another name you see pop up a lot over there. So, and I think that would kind of be his ceiling as far as where his availability would start. And then, as we alluded to earlier, if Brock Bowers doesn't go at 10, I'd be stunned if Ballard's like, nah, I'm gonna pass on that guy. So tight end is plus 310 over there. Plus 370 on DraftKings, no less.
So which one would you take then?
I like a hedge between corner and receiver. But the thing is, the odds aren't that delicious. So, like, I don't really know.
Right. I mean, I think if you're going to bet that one, if you're betting corner, you're just betting it.
Yeah.
And you're kind of going with that one. Because I don't think, I mean, plus 300, you could do a three-quarter, one-quarter split.
Yeah.
I don't know if the math works out great on that, though. That just covers you. That's just a hedge. There's no fun in that.
And then the last one, there's a couple others, but I don't feel like diving too far into them because we've got a bunch of prop bets to cover. But the last one that I thought was interesting, the odds aren't that great, but the Rams taking a defensive lineman or an edge is plus 150. I don't think the Rams are taking a defensive tackle. I think it's too lazy of an argument. Like, oh, they're going to draft Aaron Donald's replacement. Who the fuck is going to replace Aaron Donald? No one's going to replace Aaron Donald. I think it's a stupid idea to be like, oh, we're going to draft Aaron Donald's replacement. Nobody's going to fill those shoes. But they do want an edge rusher. And this is a great spot for a Latu type of player. And I think there's been a lot of connections to that player and that team. And let's say you do believe that, like, oh, maybe it'll take Murphy if he slips here. Maybe Johnny Newton from Illinois. You think they'll take him at defensive lineman. Or you'll think they'll take one of the edge rushers that falls here. You're getting both lumped into one position at plus 150. That being said, there's a ton of talk about, unsurprisingly, the Rams taking an offensive player. Could be a offensive lineman, could be a wide receiver, but defensive line, the combo sounds really interesting to me, but it's plus 150. And I don't know how much, you know, that really sways you to do so.
It's interesting. What's their pick?
19, excuse me.
I mean, how does the board shake out as far as linemen being available?
Offensive or defensive?
Offensive.
There's definitely available. You could see Fautanu slipping there, although I don't think he'd get past 16. You could see a bunch of guys reaching. There's a world where Fashanu slips. There's a world where somebody, they reach on a guy like a Tyler Guyton or somebody like that. There could be some weird offensive linemen that you're not talking about right now entering in the back end of round one because people are trying to go get positional fixes there. I mean, if you're really looking at the board and that, from that perspective, I'm pulling my big board up in the background, but it's like, you know, you have your big Fashanu. Oh, JC Latham. Latham is another wild card right there too. Keep forgetting about him. Like, that's another potential, and they could put him on the right side and maybe groom him for left. Like, that's another player that is kind of flying under the radar, and that could very well happen too. So that's the only reason that, or one of the only things that they could throw a big curveball in all of this. But I just, that caught my eye when I was looking through pairings.
It just seems too,
yeah,
there's just too much that can happen between their picks that I'm going to lean against.
Totally fair.
Wagering that one. I think we have some better options.
Okay, so we're going to move to prop bets now. So we talked about the top three and top four. I think it has to be a top five. I think just to kind of put a bow on this, I can't remember if I mentioned this or not, but Joe Alt, if you are so compelled, Joe Alt in the top five is plus 330 on FanDuel and plus 450 on DraftKings. I wouldn't make that bet.
No.
But those are interesting odds. Dallas Turner to be in the top 10 is plus 100. Turner could go to eight.
Given?
It kind of feels like it. Like, everyone's like, if there's going to be a defensive player in the top 10, it's going to be Dallas Turner. And if he doesn't go at eight, he could distinctly go at nine. So why is he getting positive money on FanDuel? That one made me scratch my head a little bit.
Well, even on DraftKings, his over-under was 9.5, and his under was minus 105.
Yeah.
So I would very much think that he would be a top 10 pick.
That's what it keeps coming back to, like, or that's what it seems like. So I don't know. That one, that just made me scratch my head a little bit. And then Brock Bowers was plus 135 for a top 10 pick, but we already talked about that. It depends on how much you think about number 10 / number 7 for him being one of those selections.
What if we parlayed Dallas Turner and Brock Bowers?
Great.
And that makes it a plus 370 to be top 10 picks.
That would be great.
You can do that. There's a parlay builder on FanDuel.
If you can do, I didn't realize, cause I wasn't sure what the rules are for parlays.
So let's do that. We're going to do a parlay Bowers Turner top 10 plus 370. So that's a fun, cause otherwise when you look at the top 10 picks, it is not fun at all. Because it's like, no, it's Doomsday, pretty, minus 1350. Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm not betting that. Joe Alt, minus 1200. I mean, you're not adding any, I guess it's, if you wanted to add it to the bet, he would, it'd take you up to 409.
Yeah. But okay, so one of the things I like to do is figure out, like, to be a first round pick, guys who could slip into the back end of the first round. And as I mentioned in our notes, it's not Michael Penix Jr., who is getting minus 180 or minus 190, depending on your books, to be a first round pick. Minus 180 or 190. No, no. If you are so compelled, you're like, I really love Michael Penix that much, God go with you. But like, even if you think he's going to be a first round pick, not at those odds, like, no, just absolutely not.
So why wouldn't you take him at his over 32 and a half?
That's a great point. If you really feel like he's going to be a first round pick, then do that. Instead of him being like one of those, like the box of like guys to go in the first round.
All right. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
What about my boy Kool-Aid?
Kool-Aid McKinstry could be, I'd know. I'm not touching that one. He could be, I could definitely see him flying to the second round. I think there's a little bit of knucklehead current there. I like him as a player a lot, but I think
his over is minus. So his over under is at 28 and a half, and he's minus 135 to go over.
Yeah. No. No. I don't like that one at all. One name, so like a bunch, I wrote down a few, like Bo Nix is plus 160 to go in the first round. I think it's going to happen. So like, I would be relatively comfortable maybe going like on a half unit there. I would be really, really surprised if Bo Nix lasts out of the first round. I would, just based off the way the trade winds are going, like Bo Nix is going to be a first round pick. I would be stunned. That would be a big shocker if he's not. Because as you said, if it's not in the top 12, somebody's coming up in the back end of round one to go get him. It's going to happen. So that this isn't Will Levis last year. Like Bo Nix has everything teams want. He's just not super like high end ceiling.
What about
plus 180 on DraftKings?
What about JC Latham over under 14 and a half? His over on DraftKings is plus 140. He's
I like
under
that.
175.
No, I like the over on
that's
Latham.
What I was thinking. Like, I think he's a good player, but I think it would be, I think there's too much other movement that could go on ahead of him that he's going to.
Yes. I think Latham is a really, really good right tackle, and I think that's going to diminish his value a little bit. I think he's a really, 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 really good right tackle or exceptional interior lineman if some team decides to do that, which would be really dumb. But I don't think he's going to I don't think he's going to go inside the 15, top 15. I'd be surprised. New Orleans, you never know what the fuck they're going to do. They are another team that marches to the beat of their own drum, so they can throw everything out the window at number 14, but I just don't see that. I think they're going to end up getting, if I had to put my money on it, I would say New Orleans walks out of round one with Fuaga, Fatanu, or Fashanu, or they just do a completely left field pick, because that's what New Orleans does.
Okay. One guy you touched on earlier, Brian Thomas, over under on FanDuel is 19 and a half. On DraftKings, he's at 18 and a half. It seems to be the over is the favorite. So do you think there's a run on receivers and he gets taken earlier?
No, because if Thomas gets past 15 at Indianapolis, his new floor/ceiling starts at 20. And I could see him going at 20 to Pittsburgh. I could see him going 21 to Miami. I could see him going 24 to Dallas. I could see him going 27 to Arizona if for some reason they didn't take Marvin Harrison. I could see him going 32 to Kansas City. So over 19 is really interesting.
That's at minus 166 on FanDuel.
No, that's doo-doo. No.
Right?
No, that's doo-doo. No. No. Sorry, I thought it was the other way around. Then no. Kaka. So I had it backwards because I saw Adonai Mitchell, AD Mitchell, as everyone calls him. I had it the other way around. When I saw under 27 and a half was plus 120. And I was like, wait, you're telling me he's going to go after 27 and a half? Because the hot rumor is him at 28, which seems a little too not good to be true, but just everyone's talking about it, which makes me, there's a red flag that like it just to avoid that. But to Buffalo at number 28. I don't know what it is to be over 28 and a half, but
that would be the 29th or 30th or 31st pick.
this is another one of those situations where it's like my evaluation is tainting what I think he's going, like where he's going to go. Because my evaluation is nowhere, I shouldn't say nowhere, but it's not nearly as bearish, no, bullish as the rest of the NFL. People gush about him and I'm like, sorry, I can't buy a receiver with 3 100-yard games in 3 years. Sorry, I can't do it. Right? So I don't care what offense he played in. Calvin Johnson racked up yards when they ran the fucking triple option. Like, don't sell me that. So that's my personal opinion. Anyway, that was that one. Oh, yeah. And then so I had the other one. I was like, I was going to rant and rave because I had it backwards because I saw Jackson Powers Johnson, who I fucking love that guy. Like, that guy,
right.
It's offensive lineman, you know, adult. It's adult movies for offensive line blocking when you watch him. And there was over 31.5. And I thought that man, he's going to be inside of, or he's going to fall into the second round. And point being, I'm like, if you're telling me that he's not going to go in the first 31 picks and I'm going to get, or you're telling me that I'm getting plus 160 to bet that he's going to be in the top 31 picks, you're fucking idiots. Cause he's going to be in the top 31 picks, but yes. And so I had the other way around. He's plus 160 to fall out of the first round and that's not happening. So yeah.
So wait, what was he?
It's just not worth talking about. I just had my pick backwards.
Okay. Man, you gotta get shit straight.
I do have it. I was working on it too late last night. Okay. Back to first round pick, the other one that I wanted to have, I'm going to give a hat tip to Dane Brugler on this one. Marshawn Neyland, hot name, rising up the board, rising up everyone's boards as of late, plus 380 on FanDuel, plus 350. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I will say I will not be surprised if it does. Like somebody slips in because it's very thin at edge rusher. And like once you get past really Latu at edge rusher, it becomes situational edge rushers. You don't get true three down, you know, plays the run and the pass type of edge players at that. And Neyland is that. So a team could look at him and say, I'm going to take him over Chris Braswell or Braylon Trice or guys like that because he can do all of those. He's just raw as fuck. But like, I could see like a team like Kansas City who was like, I don't need him now. Give me 3 years. I could see a team like Detroit being like, I like that guy. Remember, Detroit does whatever the fuck they want to do. So like I could definitely see something like that happening. Again, it's interesting. I'm not gonna bang the table for it, but that's interesting. And very similar to that, going back to the offensive line run, Kingsley Suamataia is another one who like he's really, 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 really talented. He's just really, 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 really raw. And I could see a team again like Kansas City or somebody like that at the end of the first round being like, fuck it, I'll take a flyer on that guy and give me 3 years and I can turn him into a dog. So, but he's only plus 160. So like, I don't really love it there. Plus 130 on DraftKings. But Neyland at plus 380 is just worth keeping in the back of your mind.
Plus 380 or 180?
Plus 380.
Jesus. All right. What about there's no chance a running back gets taken in the first round because the over under on that is under a half running back is minus 1600. So basically no running backs going in. Who do you think would be the first one off the board? Cause you have
Jonathan Brooks at plus 125. So my evaluation, I have Brooks. And for guys, people who won't be watching, you can't see this because this is an audio, but I have Brooks really high and a sizable step down and then everybody else. I know people like Nate Tice, among others, are super high on Trey Benson. His injury history scares the shit out of me. Like he had like a Willis McGahee type of knee injury in college. And I'm like, teams are going to be really, really wary of that. And I'm like, I can't in good conscience recommend him to be really, really high up, although he played pretty well. Brooks is also himself coming off an ACL. Otherwise, I think he would have flirted with like early second round status. Point being, Brooks is my number one running back pretty sizably for in this draft. And a lot of people agree. So he's plus 125. So the odds aren't that great.
That's not bad though.
It's not bad. It's not great, but it's not
even
bad.
Money. That's better than even money. I would think those are pretty good odds if you're confident, if he's that much ahead of the others. Or do you think
Harbaugh is
going to do something crazy and get his boy Blake?
That's the other one. I'm not going to put money on Benson because, again, NFL GMs are extremely risk averse, particularly when it comes to injuries. So, like, I know big boards publicly are really, really high on Trey Benson. Again, I am not. But Blake Corum is high floor, low ceiling. And 2,500 carries or some absurd number of carries in college. Like, that tread is well worn in. But as you said, somebody's going to be like, yeah, well, look what he did for Jim Harbaugh. Give me one of those. And I could see somebody being like, oh, well, like Doug Martin used to be really good. I'm going to go get that guy. And him somehow being the first running back off the board. Somebody's like, I need a first and second down hammer. And so at plus 450, that's interesting. I'm staying away from Trey Benson. I mean, Benson is 230, so like no
3,200, depending on where you're looking at.
Plus 450 on FanDuel for Blake Corum, like a hedge between Brooks and Corum. That's interesting to me because neither ain't none of them going on day one, but
right. I'll do maybe a quarter unit on Corum because that gives me a unit.
The last one, again, another, like last year, the draft class at this position was stocked. It was awesome. And this year, past Brock Bowers is doo-doo, is tight end. Not good this year. Even Jatavion Sanders, kind of fun to watch, but like he's a limited player. But it's kind of Brock Bowers is like echelon of his own. Then you have a sizable step down. You have Jatavion Sanders. And then you have a sizable step down again where you have the next tier. We have Ben Sinnott and Cade Stover and Theo Johnson and some other players that I'm missing off the top of my head right now. But yet the betting books have Ben Sinnott as the second tight end taken at plus 125 and then Jatavion Sanders at plus 220. That didn't make sense to me. Like that, I felt like something didn't happen. And I think it's because Ben Sinnott had a really bukkake combine, but like he's not the second best tight end in this class. Like he's not. And the fact that you're giving me Jatavion Sanders at plus 220 to be the next tight end off of after Brock Bowers, that seemed off to me in terms of why are we missing that?
I don't know.
So that's just another one to park in the back of your brain.
Well, I'm going to add it to the list before I parse this down.
Yeah.
Yeah, last year we had some very, 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 very clear bets. This year,
the one that I can't get over, I still can't get over a year later, was Will Levis over Anthony Richardson.
That was the easiest money.
And it was like plus 350 as well, or like Anthony Richardson over Will Levis was plus 350. And I'm like, sure, I will take your money. Yes. Thank you, draft books. Let me have your money.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. No, this year it's just, it's so much tighter. As I said, I think I'm going to take I'm going to put money on McCarthy and Neighbors at 5. That's a given. Probably going to put money on Adunze at 6. I was going to do a little sprinkle of Bowers at 7, as we discussed.
It's not a Hail Mary.
This is like a $5 bet, you know, because
if it hits,
33 to 1,
exactly.
You know, so that's a $5 bet. You know, that's something minimal. Then I was going to do the half bet on Turner plus 250 at 8, and a quarter on Mitchell at plus 1300 because I already have Arnold.
Yeah.
As first defensive player. I wasn't going to mess with the 9 pick.
You shouldn't. Because it's going to be Odunze barring anything else.
And then I was thinking of maybe doing another bet on Bowers at 10.
I think general manager Aaron Rodgers is going to come in and be like, give me one of those. He's going to pull a Dan Snyder coming off the boat and saying, we're taking Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, because to take him at under 12.5 at minus 188 or whatever it is, that just doesn't seem valuable, especially considering that he's not going 11 or 12. He's either going 10 or he's going over.
Right.
So I'd rather get him at plus 150 or whatever it is for positive money.
Yeah. The team pairing, the team and position pairings begin because the depth is so available this year, it's the opposite of last year, where a lot of teams are like kind of jockeying to get one or two guys or they want to trade down because everything else is kind of the same. This year, because the depth is so good, a bunch of teams are like, we're just going to see who falls to us because we're going to get a really good player. Like the top 20 are just so good.
What about defensive linemen edge rushers to go in the first round? The over-under is at 6.5. So you'd be looking at Turner, was it? Verse, Latu, Turner, Murphy, Robinson, Chop, and Darius. And then you'd be looking at another edge rusher, possibly Newton.
So this is the thing that I struggle with Newton, right? Again, going back to the NFL GMs being extremely risk averse, Newton, all things being equal, would probably have been a mid to late first round pick. Newton had foot surgery and coming off this offseason. And how much does that freak out teams? Because right now, if you look at my first round, like if I had to say who's going to go in the first round, so I have Turner versus Latu, not necessarily in that order. I like Chop Robinson, probably because he's from Gaithersburg, and so I'm a little biased there. So Chop Robinson. And then I have I think Darius Robinson's firmly in the second round. Anyway, without going too far down that.
Firmly in the second round.
I think Robinson's a second round pick for sure.
So oh, you have potential first round pick.
I think that's more media hype. I think when it's all said and done, I think he ends up in the second. But I have six. I think I have four edge, right? Yeah, the big three plus Chop as four edge plus two defensive tackles. Yeah, Byron Murphy and Newton. I have them as first round picks. So that's six. I don't see Darius Robinson going in the first round. You're talking about like Chris Jenkins and guys of that nature next in defensive tackle. No, I don't see. But so here's the guy, going back to what I said earlier, the guy who could fuck this all up is Marshawn Nyland. If he slips into the first round, then it throws a hand grenade in all of this.
So as I said, all right, let's think about this. So over under on 6.5 defensive linemen, over is plus 250, under is minus 320. So it's heavily on the under.
Over is interesting.
Nealon, you said to be a first round pick is plus 380.
Plus 380.
I mean, that's 380 is more than 250. So
and if you think I could see teams freaking out about Chop Robinson being like, oh well, he's much more of a pass rush only guy. And I could see teams being like, yeah, but he's fucking Nightcrawler off the line when he gets going. So like I'll take one of those. So
he teleports.
Basically, that's how fast he gets off the line. Like he's fucking awesome, right? So like I could see seven going in the first round. There's a world where you have four edge or five edge and two defensive tackles.
So I guess my question would be, do you think Nealon makes it into the first round, or would you rather just take seven defensive linemen edge rushers to go in the first round?
I would rather bank. If you're going to make one of those bets, I'd rather take Nealon, because what happens if Chop falls?
Gotcha.
Because then you got Nealon right and you're still.
And it is better odds. So
right. And you got better odds there.
All right. Other bets that I had, just summing things up, yep, was second offensive lineman taken. I was going to do a split between Fuaga and Fashanu. I was going to take the over on Latham at 14.5. I was going to take the under on Byron Murphy at 15.5.
I like it.
And then I'm not sure if I'm going to do Dallas offensive lineman or receiver. I don't know if I'm going to touch that one. I've scratched Indy cornerback at plus Dallas, 115.
Dallas is going to take either one of those. Like it's going to be one of those two. I'm not, like I said, it's Dallas on. I'm not going to make an emotional investment in one way or another, but like Dallas is taking one of those two. And it's like 90-10. It's going to be offensive lineman or a receiver. I'd be really floored if it wasn't either of those two positions, because like it wouldn't make any sense. You could talk yourself into an edge rusher, but like,
well, the offensive line is minus 210. Like
in Dallas, exactly. The odds are probably shit. And Dallas could trade down. If Dallas traded down, nobody would blink an eye because they have 100 holes they need to fill.
Right. So I don't know. Maybe I do. I'm probably not going to do that
one. Yeah, I'd stay away. I'd stay away. It's not worth it.
We said Rams to take a DL edge plus 150. Parlaying Bowers and Turner to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
I really like that one. Penix to be a second round pick at plus 150.
Yeah. I'm taking Penix at outside the round one. Nothing against him, but like four season ending injuries. Four. Like, and you think an NFL team's like, yeah, I'm going to sign him up for one of those.
Yeah.
No.
And then Bo Nix to be first round. Nealon to be a first rounder at plus 380. And then Jadeveon Sanders plus 220 second tight end. Those are the picks that I have so far.
Do it. I love it. I'm excited about this.
Thank you for listening to the Hail to the District podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you download your podcasts.